Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Watching the Lakers play tonight, listen, it's about as dominant a game one as you could possibly have playing the way they did. And there's the two people that, look, we spent some time talking about the bench, and they deserve a lot of credit. We've gone into the Lakers rotations and how incredibly impressive it is seeing them figure out just how they're going to work with some of these pieces that most other teams would go, this guy, really? You know, they almost kind of look like those great Celtics, Lakers teams of the 80s where, you know, you take a guy like Scott Wedman or Jerry Seasting and you would say, this guy really, but then you see him play in the finals and they have big moments and hit big shots. You go, man, they really need this guy. Man, he's not just a couple of superstars they have. It's you know, each of those teams going 7-8, you know, deep with guys. You know, it's Jamal Wilkes hitting big shots for the Lakers too.
Sure.
You know, man, they get these moments from guys. But clearly, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are at the top of this. And I know that it's hard to look, there's the haters out there who are always going to want to say, oh, LeBron needs to do more. And I guarantee you, if the NBA Finals goes the rest of this way, Anthony Davis will win the MVP. And there's going to be many people looking for that way to just, I still can't stand LeBron being this way. He's, you know, 17 years in the league and 10 finals and 4 championships. Oh, how does LeBron not win MVP? How is he not the best player? He's now at the point where he's not even the best player on his own team. He's clearly riding Anthony Davis's coattails. Look at me providing content for all the LeBron haters who are jumping on that train in the playoffs, all of this. And it really is insane. But that's what's going to be said about LeBron James. It'll be, oh, look at him now. He's not the guy he was. Look at it. And they'll try to prop up Anthony Davis. Say, look at AD. It's AD. It's AD. Meanwhile, all they want to do is just crush AD for not being a great fourth quarter player. But now it's, oh, yeah, now look at him. He's riding on AD's coattails. He had to get all this stuff from the bench. He never had that before. And look, they will find a way to make LeBron not winning the MVP something that is a mark against him in his quest for his legacy. Because I could tell you, Mike, that's absolutely going to happen.
Maybe that's why he wanted that triple-double. How about that? No, finished one assist shy on the night and was still playing and in the game with about a minute 23 remaining, if I remember correctly, that stoppage of play. But just an incredible night all around and showing when things click how dangerous they were. We watched wondering if the bench parts were going to be enough. Right, and it's not the series you anticipated in the last round, and certainly going to where we are, the way the bracket's gone through. Right, I sent you guys, you and Justin, a screenshot of exactly what we've been talking about over the course of the night of people putting together. All right, here was the path for LeBron James for this to happen. So yeah, screw him. Magic Johnson. The keys to the Laker victories were their defense, not letting the Heat have wide open threes, and their bench outplaying the Heat bench. The first reply was all about the paths and the upset specials and everything else, saying, well, here's a number five seed, so really you should dominate them. It's like, no, they get paid to play basketball too. You cannot help who's in front of you. You cannot help that the Clippers gave one of the bigger choke jobs we've seen in recent memory. Pick your sport. Individual or team, that's about as bad as it gets for all the hype and excitement and depth analysis. And we talked about it, right? I mean, all the way through, going back to when that team was assembled. With the Lakers, it was, all right, they seem to have added some spare parts. I think the only thing, other than obviously AD coming on board, the only guy you got excited about a little bit was, all right, he's got championship pedigree, and it's Danny Green. With Rondo, you don't know what he's going to be, right? He missed a bunch of time due to injury. Kyle Kuzma was supposed to be the chosen one and the savior to be that big number three, right? Because you got to have a big three. You just can't have two dominant guys and a bunch of guys. Don't you know, Jason? You have to have a third guy by default. They build the in the stand. If they're putting the bobblehead, the commemorative bobblehead together, there has to be a damn third guy on that, don't you know? So Kuzma was supposed to be that guy. And he's been, shall we say, ordinary, disappointing overall. Today, you know, hit a shot when it was one of the bench mob early, but he finished 1 of 7 for the night. Did he really do his job? Nah, he was a chucker at the end. So, you know, when it comes down to it, you've got to celebrate what those two guys are able to do and pull guys along, right? That's what the great ones are supposed to do. And Anthony Davis, he's supposed to be a great one. He just had a situation that got tired. The only thing I knock him for was saying, hey, I want out with 18 months left on the deal. How about you just play it out to the end of that season and then you go? But they force the issue. They get what they wanted, which, again, never makes sense when you force a trade. Don't you normally get sent to basketball or baseball or football Siberia? No, instead you get to come to L.A. And I think the only loss in all of this is that we don't have any reports of cool Miami nightlife, cool parties, or Los Angeles nightlife for us to go and hobnob with a bunch of big shots after the show. So we kind of get screwed in that regard. But it played out as it will, and obviously the LeBron hatred society, they're trying to figure out what the next talking point is. How do you move the next line? And if it's the MVP trophy, well, hell, that's just ridiculous. But what else would be new when it comes to these arguments? Just fabricate it and move things along.
You know, and the thing is about Anthony Davis is that everybody has the same criticism of AD up until these playoffs, right? The guy doesn't play in the fourth quarter, right? He plays three quarters great, then he disappears in the fourth quarter. And he's done it a few times now. Let's just hold open the possibility that Anthony Davis, who is still in his early, in his mid-20s and kind of just hitting his prime right now, let's leave it open for the fact that maybe he is hitting that next level and he has figured out being that player, because we have seen him dominate the entire playoffs. We have seen him hit big shots in the playoffs. We have seen him hit big shots in the fourth quarter. We have seen him hit buzzer beaters to win games and basically clinch series. And here he is.
Think about that shot, how huge that looms right now.
Yeah, that's the play of the playoffs. All right, right now, if you said all the what we've seen in the bubble in the NBA, what's the one play that defines that player? It's that shot by Anthony Davis. It's AD for that buzzer beater. We've had some buzzer beaters. But AD, that shot, because he's that type of player, and now he is ascending, and he is becoming that next-level superstar. Because that's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing a guy that, oh, he's never done it before, and now he's not. No, I've seen a guy that is in the right situation with enough talent around him. The two-man game he plays with LeBron is fantastic, and he is now able to shoulder that burden to the point where he is hitting big shots. Did he hit big shots? Like, no, of course he didn't, because they were winning by 50 when they went to the fourth quarter. They didn't need him, but he has done this throughout the playoffs. So before you sit here and go, AD has been fantastic. And if I'm giving out an MVP for the playoffs for the Lakers right now with 3 games still left to go, I'm telling you, it's going to wind up being Anthony Davis. He's just going to be, it's just going to happen for him that way. And he's hitting that next level of superstardom, because what you have to do is you have to win championships. You have to make big shots and be a guy that scores buckets in big moments. You don't need to be that guy that, oh, here's my triple double and here's a bunch of assists and a bunch of rebounds and all. Who's going to hit those big shots late? Who's going to be that big guy in the fourth quarter? That has been Anthony Davis. This is just the next evolution of his career, and he's gotten to that level. That's what I see, more so than a guy that, well, he's never done it until now, and LeBron is helping him out. No. It's really the other way around.
Well, and it works together, right? At some point, you hit the part of your career where you're going to need a little bit of an assistance. That's where coming to L.A. last year, LeBron groin injury, and we'll always debate how severe it was. Like, wait, are we any good? No, we're not any good. So off it went. AD shows up, and you've got a different way of running this offense. I mean, we watched it in the opening minutes of this game. All right, who's guarding him? Bam Adebayo picks up two fouls, and it's like, all right, now you got a 9-inch height advantage over anybody that's trying to guard you in the low post. Oh, and by the way, come and chase me out to the perimeter where I still use that 9-inch height advantage. Obviously, I'm exaggerating for radio purposes, but to where you're not getting anywhere near my jump shot, right? You don't have a shot at defending me, a shot in hell. So, yeah, it's a game changer. And look, LeBron is counted by rings, right? That's it. His legacy is that. The finals appearances are cool. It's a fun stat, but let's face it. Loses another one, that'll be forever held against him. Now, he would be at the same winning percentage that they always say gets you into the Hall of Fame in baseball, but folks would still hold that against him. With Anthony Davis, the narrative is, all right, he's the star on the rise, right? As LeBron is in that plateau or whatever you call it, which means he's still a bad man, and I would not want to get in the way of one of those drives, even at 35, 38, whatever the hell he is at this point, because I don't think the man ages. I've been saying he's a cyborg for years, and other than a quick groin injury, that's proven me correct. But it's the narrative is the passing of the torch, right? We love those narratives. And so that means Anthony Davis will show up on more than a few ballots, not to mention you still have some Jordan holdovers with some of those votes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Today is day two of the Major League Baseball playoffs. And it really, today, you know, you talked about game day and getting up. But you know what it felt like today? It felt to me like it was a first couple of days of the NCAA tournament where you had eight games and one game would start and then you'd have another one start midway through and then another one start there midway through and you're trying to watch the end of this game and the beginning of the next game. That's what it felt like. And we had some great endings today. You know, we have the Yankees-Indians is the marquee game. It's going on right now. Then we got the Dodgers starting in a couple of minutes. This is why I say baseball's never going to go back to the way it used to be. You really can't. You look at the excitement level of all these teams clinching playoff spots, then the excitement level of what the first three or four days at the end of the regular season could be when you have all these teams playing in these two out of three series. It's so much excitement. It's so much nerves. It's anybody can win. It's anybody can go home. How do you go back to the old way of 162 games and half the league is eliminated by the time you get to August and it's really difficult and how do you, and it's only for these playoffs? But I don't know how you go back to that. I really don't. I can't see there being any way next year is not a version of like what we saw these last 2 months in the regular season and the playoffs, because as you can see, the excitement level, what it means for baseball, it's something entirely different. It's a jolt of them. And next year, they're also going to have the calendar themselves, really. Because now you realize, okay, here's baseball starting, but hey, the NBA Finals is a big, big bleeping deal, right? You still have the NHL Finals going on. That's not next year. Next year is just going to be we got football and baseball with the Fall Classic and the playoffs going on in September, October. This is what it normally is. This is how baseball is going to have some version of this for next year. And if they don't, it is a huge mistake.
Yeah, you mentioned the Stanley Cup final down in Florida. They were loving the boat parade that they had today. I know my parents out in Clearwater, they were celebrating the Lightning, bringing home the title. So, but to your point, it's the end of September and the NHL just finished. We've got the NBA Finals. College football hasn't even fully started yet. We still have several conferences yet to come on board, including the return of the MAC. Got to say it whenever
you can. The actual return of the MAC, yes.
Well, since they use it in 97 commercials right now, we got to use it here. All of that flowing on. The one thing, question for baseball, though, is how much blowback do you get from those top-seeded teams who are going to be pissed if they go and boat raise people for 162 games and then it's a best of three?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, Mike Harmon, because as normal, I have a solution for this.
Well, I
have a solution. So you do it just like you do the NFL playoffs. You have the three division champions, the two with the best records get byes. The next four teams, so let's say you want to make it a little bit more special. You don't want to let eight teams in. That's a lot. So let's say you let in seven teams in each division, in each league. Okay, so the first two teams get byes, and then the next four teams have to play a two out of three series. All right, the teams that win get the beneficiary, the two best records of we can set our playoff rotations, we can sit for a couple of days. You're only sitting for 3 or 4 days. It's okay. The other teams have to sweat out 3 games in 3 days or 3 games in 4 days, however you want it to go out. And then they're going into the series at a bit of a deficit against the other team, which it should be because they have their best records. If you're the division champion with the worst record, then you're the division champion with the worst record. Have a better record. And you run it that way, and there really isn't going to be any complaints. And you can have it where it's the 3 division winners and the 3 second-place teams. You could have the 3 best records overall that aren't division winners. However it is, somehow that has to be the kind of system that goes into next year. And now you have the 2 teams at the top go, okay, well, we won the division. We do have the best record. All right, we're good. We're in. All right, that's what we're going to do. We get to sit around and watch. Awesome. I even have a crazy idea that goes even next level than that. I spent a lot of time thinking about this today because I've had a lot of coffee. But I'll get that coming up later on. But I got another idea that would be, you know what? Screw it. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah,
so here's another
ahead,
idea.
Buddy.
Ready for this?
Yeah,
all
let's
right.
go.
You ready for this? Here's the other idea. Top 2 teams with the best record play against each other in the first round. Ready? This is insane, right? You play a best of 7. All right, so wait a minute. The best 2 teams, the best with the best records playing together in the first round? Yes, because the other 4 teams have to play 2 rounds. They got to play a best of 3 and then a best of 5. And then the winning team out of that plays against the one team that has won the first best of 7. So you have the 2 best teams get in. Yes, you have to play each other, but it's a 7-game series. You don't worry about going out early, and you only have to win 1 round, while the other teams have to win 2 rounds to get to where you are in the league championship series. And they'll end around the same time. You're talking about a best of 7 versus a best of 3 and then a best of 5. So you can balance the calendar on it a bit. That's a crazy idea, and baseball, you know, they don't like crazy ideas, but that's another one that would work. I mean, anything is on the table, seeing the excitement level of this right now. But I gotta say, the one thing that hit me today in a great game, because how much fun was it to watch the Reds, the Braves match zeros and Trevor Bauer strutting like Conor McGregor on the mound after he strikes out people? It was some kind of fun game. But I do admit, you know, a game where the Braves went winning in 13 innings on Freddie Freeman's walk-off single. I must admit, when it gets to the 10th inning, and you know, everybody has to remind the viewers, you know, now there's no runner at second base to start the inning here in the top of the 10th. It goes back to the old ways where you have to get a run on the board. I must admit, I saw that and I said, my first thought was, oh, now this game is going to go forever. I mean, really, I just said, oh, now this game is going to go forever. I didn't realize how much I've gotten used to that runner on second base in extra innings. And not only because it's going to, you know, you get that, oh, this game, and this game winds up going 13 innings, right? This doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the Braves pitchers. Doesn't help the Reds pitchers. You're throwing everybody you have in your bullpen. But it also takes away from the excitement because there's not built-in excitement in extra innings. You know, you go to extra innings and you're tense. You think there's a run, but boy, if a team doesn't have anything going on and it's 3-up, 3-down and 3-up, 3-down and 3-up, 3-down, you're like, okay, now you're just waiting for somebody to get a hit. It's a lightning 2 hits to be strung together, a double and a single, or somebody to go deep. It's much more difficult. And it's a lot less exciting than, hey, we're starting the inning with a runner on second base. Because you're building in drama already. You're going to see excitement and runs in extra innings. And you make the team that wins the game, you got to earn it because you got to, A, stop somebody when they're starting with a runner at second base, or do it and get past what they did in the top. If a team scores 1, you got to be able to get 2 in the bottom of the inning. I realize how much I missed that. And I really wanted that to be a part of this. I didn't think I would, because I'm like, oh, we got 7-inning doubleheaders, we got runners starting at second base, but I really did miss that, and I'm spending a lot of time today thinking that's something that I'd like to see permanent. I think in major, I know I'm crazy.
You like that?
I'd like to see
you
that,
like
because
that.
Because of that, I really would.
How about that? Yeah, I'll disagree with you here. I like going back to basics because now it becomes bullpen management and no quick outs, right? No. Yes, the stress of, hey, there's a runner on second, let's get after it. There's some built-in drama for that. But there's also now everybody that complained to high heaven about, oh, the strategy's gone. Meanwhile, it's, you know, the blackjack card that you get. Here's what you do in these game situations. Here, 99 cents. Now go buy some chips. Get after it. It puts it back on the table that now you got to do a little more of your bullpen management. You've got to decide, you know, if you want to play matchups as you go, perhaps a bit more, as opposed to, hey, we just just got to get after it because there's a runner on second. So a little more of the long-term planning, I think, puts it back in. I was okay with it. You know, it just kept going. It was, you know, free baseball, baby. Free baseball. Not that we can go and pay to get into a park just yet, but I will advise that I am billing you for my flight and hotel and everything else when the White Sox make it to the World Series. That's going to be on your dime, and I'll find my way in as one of those lucky fans. But, no, I that's one that I think for the regular season, I like all the innovations, and I want the doubleheader to stay. I think that's a win for sure. I think the 10th inning one could go away for me, though. I think we can get back to basics for the playoffs.
Okay, so if tomorrow, if the White Sox lose and they load the bases and can't get a run across in the 10th inning, you're going to come around to my side really fast. You're going to say, oh, Jason, that idea. I really like that idea of having a guy at second base.
No, what I'm going to look is for great analysis when you've got runners on and a guy hits a ball to the warning track and the outfielder crashes in, making a great play on it where it would have obviously been a two-run double, maybe a triple, to make the score 4-2. They say, hey, they might want that one back. We may be looking at that as the game goes on. No kidding. It's a two-run double early in the bleeping game. That's the old interception. He'd like to have that one back. Shut up.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Potentially getting set to put a cap on the night in sports, the 8th MLB game nearly in the books. I say nearly because the Dodgers have a 2-run lead over the Brewers. Kenley Jansen trying to close it out in the 9th inning. Brewers have a runner on first and 2 outs. We'll keep you posted on that throughout the next few minutes here on the show. But one quick thing, Mike, on baseball today before we get to the bubble and Dan Wojcicki, is that this is a big time in baseball. These last few days, I believe, is a seismic change in the game because you look at the excitement level today of 8 MLB games. It was like the first or second day of the NCAA tournament in college hoops where you have one game starting and you're watching it and then another one starts midway through and then another one starts and you're trying to keep track of all the games. It was that kind of excitement. I don't know how we go back to the way it used to be. I don't know how we go back to here's 162 games into the 3 division winners, couple of wild cards. With the excitement level of different teams clinching and the NCAA tournament type feel here, the first couple of days of the playoffs, I mean, there's no choice. Baseball has to do this next year. We have to see 7 or 8 teams in the playoffs in each league or baseball. You run the risk of people going, oh boy, I tell you, they really hit on something last year, but man, my team is out of it beginning of August. You know, the ratings are down. There's less relevancy. I think baseball has hit on something they kind of have to do next year. They kind of have to see this kind of playoff format.
Yeah, we'll see probably a fight over the 3-game series. I'm sure the top teams over the 162 would want a little more love there. But otherwise, yeah, the excitement, whether I equated it to a college football Saturday, right? Sun up to sun down. You started tailgating at 7 a.m., throw some bacon on, have something to tide you over from what you imbibed the night before. As you rolled in to your big weekend, and it's all day action. I mean, look at it. It's 10:25 on the West Coast, and this game is still alive. So you have that or your March Madness scenario as well. Either way, just excitement pillar to post and games that have such meaning, such weight. Right now in Cleveland, they're going, hey, look what happened to us. Our ace blew up, and then our reliever blew up, and we walked 12 guys today. Not that the Yankees aren't good enough without giving them 12 walks. So chaos ensues, and that's what you want. You want the excitement, and that's what's been beautiful about watching the chase to get into the playoffs, and here we are now. And you still get to hate watch the Astros, so it's good for everybody.
More baseball coming up in a couple minutes, but right now, joining us now on the hotline, a man who has a very special connection to everybody who officiated Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight, LA Times NBA insider Dan Wojcicki. Dan, you want to explain what you played Twister with the 3 officials from the game tonight? What was it?
Well, let's start with this. First of all, guys, hold on. So Jason, I just heard you talking about, you know, how will we go on? Like, I remember the first time I heard Roxette Joyride, and I thought I could never hear music again. All right. And then the That's look comes out, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what will I do? And then it turns out she's just a little bit dangerous. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is like, what am I, like, how will I ever hear again? I might as well just cut my ears off. And no, it turns out I was able to survive. So I think we'll figure it out at post-baseball. So anyways, to your original question.
You're insane. You are insane tonight.
Okay, anyways, to your original
question. It's late question, out there in Florida.
It is. It is 1:26. To your
this
original
is not
question
Wojcie's first
rent.
Stop of the night, if you get what I'm saying.
You know how in, like, ancient Rome and ancient Greece, like, everything, like, you know, would happen at the town square, right? Like, people would post stuff up. So there's essentially at our hotel, there is a square area that has been commandeered by the refs to play pickleball, which is essentially, if you're not in a high school gym class, it is essentially table tennis, but without the table. It's a low net, like a smaller than a tennis racket sized paddle. And essentially a wiffle ball, and you play doubles, and you run around, you sweat in the Florida sun, and it's super fun. It's really competitive. Old people really like it, but I think it's, you know, it's getting a hip new edge here in Orlando. And the refs are obsessed, and my room is right by the court, and so I've struck up some pickleball conversations, and I've been able, like, all three refs that work for me, actually, plus the alternate. We've all played pickleball together, they're tremendous. I'll say this, guys, and I don't want to give too much away because I might be right about it at some point. Watching two referees argue over calls on a pickleball court is just like chef's kiss green.
Let's go and so see if funny. There was a an aggressive act, right?
No, for real. Like, you'll see someone fire a paddle occasionally. Like, it is awesome. It is, like, you get such a great insight. Getting to know some of those guys here has been such a fun little thing because, like, that job is so strange. It mostly just sucks. Like, getting to watch, like, just, like, seeing their personalities on the court, like, kind of how they trickle out in real life and in competition and stuff like that is, like, oh, it's just great. I love it.
So, wait, is there when these guys are playing pickleball, is there a video table they can go over and look at if they're arguing over a call, or they just have to figure it out themselves?
Okay, so it's funny. No, there is no, but, like, the challenge jokes go over great, right? So I was playing the other day with Monty McCutcheon, who you may remember he's the head of referee officiating now, guy who wears, like, the crazy, like, zoot suits and stuff like that. He's an insane beard right now. And Monty McCutcheon hit one about, conservatively 8 feet long. Like, it was nowhere near being in, at which point, like, somebody jokingly asked, like, was it in? And I was like, hey, Monty, you might want to save that challenge. And it got, like, a huge roar. It was great.
Ah, there you go.
It's like you can always get a good – you can get a good air punch joke in. You can get a good good official review. We're going to send this one to Secaucus. Oh, just the classics out at the pickleball court.
I don't even know how to follow up with that, Dan.
I've been here, like, 40 days now.
Yeah, no, the countdown is out. He's got it scrawled on the wall like it's Shawshank. Yep. Hey, Dan, do the Heat have any chance in hell like that? Like,
no, I don't think so. I think, look, right, these series, you have to win four, right? Watching that happen to Miami, seeing Goran Dragic get hurt, seeing kind of everything else that happened, it's like, how can that team win four times? I just... Something would have to drastically change, right? Like, it's not – they're just not there. A lot would have had to have gone right. I think I tweeted that during Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, a lot would have to go right for either of those teams to beat the Lakers. And tonight, a lot went wrong. And they lost by, what was it, 17, I think, total. But, I mean, it was a 25-point game,
sure.
Really. You know, it wasn't as close as the final score. And I think – you know, Miami will make some adjustments. I think they're a tough enough team, a sound enough team to maybe get a game here, maybe even two. But, like, I just don't see how they're going to win four times. The recipe just doesn't seem to be there right now. Could be wrong. Hey, who knows? Like, this is the bubble, right? Like, crazy stuff happens there all the time. It has been happening, whether on the basketball court or on the pickleball square. But this would take some like really high level bubble magic for the Heat to survive. This is just they didn't look like they were playing the same sport at times tonight, guys.
No, you know, and the thing is, you know, because I picked the Heat to get to the finals before the playoffs started. I don't know if you know that or not.
I've heard it once or twice. I've heard that.
I'm sure you do, buddy. So I know you know. But watching these teams play, it's like I'm watching the Heat, and it's not that they came in and they played and they weren't ready. It's that the Lakers, they're peaking right now. And they have figured everything out to the point where you're watching a team that doesn't, that's saying, everybody's asking the wrong question when they're saying, who's our third guy going to be? They tried to make Kuzma the third guy. He's not. But Kuzma and Rondo and Caruso, they're all the third guy for a few minutes. And it's one to another. And they all have figured out their roles. And they know this is who we are. And they kind of did that before COVID hit. But we kind of blew it off because everything changed. We're in the bubble now and everything else. But they had won a lot of games figuring out, okay, this is kind of who we are. And they've gotten to that point where the Lakers kind of look like those great Laker and Celtics teams of the 80s, where you look and go, okay, you know, look at Caruso and Rondo, and then but it's guys like Scott Wedman and Jerry Seasting and Jamal Wilkes and all these guys who would have great moments in the playoffs and in games, and you go, this is kind of how the championship teams were built. You had the couple of stars, and you had all the role players who would have their time, and I kind of see that with the Lakers.
Yeah, so I think I do think we are asking the wrong questions when we say who's the third guy. I think a better question is when your two guys are LeBron James and Anthony Davis, does it matter? Right? And that's something I remember, honestly, before the season, right? Like, that was one of the things we talked about was sort of, you know, when we looked at that roster and said, well, you know, is it really a fit? Like, you know, they missed on Kawhi. They waited too long in free agency. All that stuff. Remember, and I feel pretty vividly, remember saying things like, if the Lakers make it very far this year, the primary reason will be is that none of any of this matters because they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And the role players have been great. They've undoubtedly, though, been lifted up by, you know, just the devastation of having, you know, two of the five best players in the league this year on the court at all times. That's really, really hard to guard. You know, and yeah, they could use better shooters, and yeah, you know, I mean, Rondo is inconsistent. He's been pretty good he's been really good in the playoffs, but like that hasn't been all year. But look, you know, they've got guys that star in their roles. They've got guys that know what they're doing, and whether you say peaking at the right time, figuring it out, whatever, or I just honestly think like they've just gone to a different. They can go to a different place because they have those two guys that anyone else can. Right? Like,
yeah.
Jimmy Butler can have a great quarter, certainly a great half. He can take over. You know, but if you look around the rest of the conference finals, Jamal Murray can get there a little bit, but it's like because he makes shots, right? Like LeBron and AD, like they just beat you up if you want, right? Like they can just be bigger and stronger. And by the way, they're also crazy skilled. And it's just a combination that no one else has.
Yeah, Dan, as maybe yes, we're still asking the wrong question because it's really important to note, A, that Dwight Howard was ineffective and then sat down and they went on the run. So that leaves the door open, Dan, for who's the third guy of the big three? Because it's got to be three.
No, it doesn't. In this series, it certainly doesn't, especially as Miami moves to, you know, Kendrick Nunn and Kelly Olynyk. Like, it might just be one. Like, honestly, at this point, like, I might just take one. It's just, you know, you feel bad for the Heat. Such a great story. And I was, you know, I wrote it. Like, there is historical precedent for a team like the Heat to kind of pull off this kind of an upset. And that was in 2004 with the Pistons, a team that was much more, you know, a closed fist than, you know, an open hand with five digits, right? And I think, you know, this Heat team, as they were rolling through the East, was a closed fist. And you saw it a little bit early. Now, look, shot making covers up a lot of stuff, right? Like the Heat in that 23-10 run, I think, started 9-for-12. Okay. And that was always going to kind of come back a little bit. But you just watched. You watched the Lakers just kind of start to exert their physical will on the game. And at times it sort of looked like the varsity playing the JV, you know, just in terms of size and physicality. And I think that to me is like the difference, right? It is like, in addition to the obvious, the talent gap at the top, it's just like they're just so much bigger. They move really well, and they're able to just kind of push people around, and it's really hard to combat. Like, I think, again, I think Miami's very well coached. I think they're very tough. I think they are not satisfied with where they're at in the bubble. I think they signed up to see this through all the way to the end, so they're going to play really hard, and they might make this difficult, or certainly more difficult than Lakers than it was tonight, but the pathway, I just don't see it. I really just don't see it.
Dan, lastly, obviously, it's going to be a big deal for the health of the Heat. And the two guys we're looking at, Bam Adebayo left tonight's game with a shoulder injury. Obviously, Jimmy Buckets got hurt as well, but he came back to play in the second half. Goran Dragic with the torn plantar. Hopefully, he can play at some point in the series. And the good news is that he was walking out under his own power. What have you heard or seen, you know, from either of these stories with either Adebayo and Dragic, and what the Heat can expect from them in Game 2 in a couple of days?
Sure. You know, not much that wasn't already said. You know, I think the Dragic thing is certainly seems like the more serious thing here. Adebayo's been dealing with that shoulder a little bit here over the past couple weeks. We've seen him in post games all iced up and stuff like that. And he's always, it's just maintenance. But, like, nobody maintains just like that. You know, like, maybe if you just throw him, like, 150 pitches, you would ice your shoulder like that. But I think, you know, the Dragic thing is sort of like, is this going to be something where he tries to come back and play in, say, game 4, you know, 6 days? That seems like it would be the fastest. And, like, the track record for especially guards being able to kind of come back from something like that and move easily seems like that it's just not going to happen. Look, I will say this from Emmy. Dragic came off the bench most of the year. And Kendrick Nunn has been a disaster in the playoffs. And today, in garbage time, he was pretty effective and maybe got a little confidence back. And, you know, maybe that's a little extra scoring punch, something that the Lakers didn't prepare for as much. And maybe they can ride that that wave a little bit. But, look, guys, we're kind of grasping at straws at this point, right? I mean, we're talking about undrafted free agents. We're talking about Kelly Olynyk taking on maybe a bigger role. I think the Heat will make incredible adjustments. It's what they do. But it's just, like I said, it's just such a tough road for them, and then the injuries made it already. It was already a tough road. The injuries made it even harder.
You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Wojcicki Sports. That is at Dan Wojcicki Sports. Also under his new burner Twitter account, Pickleball Champ. So you can get him there as well. Dan, appreciate it, man. 40 days in the bubble. You probably got about 5 or 6 more.
Take care, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
There goes Dan Wojcicki.
He's got done. A game of pickleball to get
to.
That's late
great.
Night.
Yeah, I got late night pickleball. Hey, you know the last time I played,